I've been wanting to ask this question of each of you as to what resources have been the most helpful in your journey in realizing Christ lives as you.
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
What other than our conversation or my sharing, what other things like materials, collateral materials, have you read or come across or seen that you can say have been influential? And the reason I'm asking this question is that I'm trying to assemble a very short list of, say, some of the best resources for other people coming into this conversation. There are a couple people, particularly David Fulton isn't on this morning, but David has some people he's been having conversation with, and he's asking, or he and I are asking this question, what would be the best resources for them starting in? So what thoughts do you have in that regard? What would you say?
I'll start.
I'll go ahead.
Yeah.
What drove me originally was I've always wanted that, you know, that to realize Christ, just Jesus' name, amen, at the end. But the book that you had recommended, so you don't want to go to church, well, whatever the title was, which opened my eyes up to a different type of relationship. I'm careful when I say that to people because that immediately sounds heretical or heretic, you know.
But you're in the right place.
Yeah. That got me started, but really it was Grubb's books.
Okay.
The Law of Faith.
Okay. Just
that every turned, it's like, oh, really? Wow, I hadn't thought of that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
That's my thing, you know.
So the book you're referring to is the story, it's really an allegory.
Yeah.
It's called So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore, and written by Wayne Jacobson and Dave Coleman. While that story doesn't relate directly to the conversation of Christ as us, it does start the questioning. It does start opening up a different insight. And if you've not, the rest of us, if you've not read that little story, it's a very delightful, very inspirational story. And again, it's not written as a factual story. It's written as a novel. But when you read it, you have the sense that, oh my, this is talking about me. This is talking about my engagement in religious structure in church. And it begins to really suggest a whole different paradigm. Yeah, that's good, Arnold.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Anybody else want to?
Yeah.
You can read all the books you want and all the scripture you want, but what it basically comes down to is revelation.
Yeah, it's revelation. Yeah, Jerry, you wanted to say.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know how intellectual this is, and it's probably, you know, you guys, I don't know, you could probably not even connect with it, but it's really been hit me really hard when I was doing a weekend retreat up with the Trappist monks. They I was listening to tapes and doing my wood carving and stuff, and there was this Jesuit priest that wrote this little book, and I was reading, and it's all about attachments. And then it so connects, Dennis, with what your theory of all in all, you know, you get rid of these attachments and then you sink in to all in all, you know, your life is dedicated to Jesus. That's where everything is. And we don't need all this stuff that just drives people crazy, you know. So that's been a big impact. And what you're talking about every Sunday is just connects so well with this little book that I read. This was probably 40 years ago.
Okay.
What is it? Well, Anthony DeMello was the guy's name. Okay. Anthony DeMello. And it just, of course, he was on the circuit giving lectures and stuff about, you know, hints and how to change your attitude and those kinds of things.
Okay.
But the basic was connected totally with all in all. So really connect with that.
Jerry, again, you illustrate the fact that there are multitudes of ways that God can bring us into this revelation, and he can use a Jesuit priest, he can use an exiled pastor, he can use there's so many different avenues that God is using to bring truth. I can, with your eyes starting to open up, you can be watching a movie, and the movie is in your mind the most non-religious film you want to see, and yet, whoa, here's a truth that God is speaking, and he's speaking everywhere. No, I appreciate that.
But it's so neat to have things connect, you know.
Oh yes, exactly.
You can just feel the connection.
And isn't that the way God works?
Yeah, yeah.
And all and things, our faith in that we have grown up with, not our religion, but our faith, has not been challenged or changed, other than a deeper faith by what you're talking about. And that's what impressed me is there's no conflict in my heart about what I believe, God and Jesus. So that's comfortable.
Yeah, boy, that the nail on the head there, that's so true, at least for me, perhaps all of them. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I'm just wanting to reiterate the fact that God doesn't use just one channel here. There's one, not one particular religious channel, one particular author, one particular speaker. No, he's not limited in bringing the truth, the revelation of himself to our spirits. He can use any and all sources if he desires. My goodness. Even the enemy can be used. You can go to scripture and point that out. Yeah. God has unlimited ways.
Yeah.
Beth, you want to chime in?
No, because I don't, I mean, I don't know. I'm still getting it.
Have you been impressed by any one or specific source or avenue? Where has this truth been most aligned in your spirit? Where anything in the environment, anybody personally?
I think it's just the way it's kind of always been for me, and it's just in my own mind or heart, and just living life just through life experiences and truths, you know, that you recognize and you internalize, and that kind of thing.
All of our stories are unique. Your story is definitely unique in your background, as we've talked, and then what you've come to see from that background and where you are now, and living in different my goodness, living in different cultures from one side of the states to the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Scotty. Yeah. What say you?
Well, the first thing that I would ask is, what's your goal here?
I'm wanting to hear from you personally. I'm wanting to know what.
I mean, are we trying to establish like things that we could use to help people?
Sure.
Come to that realization, or
it could be that your particular source. I mean,
it's gonna be different. It's gonna be different for everybody.
Absolutely right, but you never know. If something that's helped you, it could be helping somebody else. This is a little book we've talked about that Arnold mentioned, So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore. Mm-hmm. I personally was tremendously inspired by that book. That book was one of the key turning points. I was at a fork in my career and my journey. And when I read that book, it just confirmed, oh my goodness, it opened my eyes to where I was in the clergy ministerial path. And
it took me three times going through that book before I finally realized the point that he was trying to get across.
Good. Yeah. And that's the journey, Scott. There's all of us are not going to be the same. We can't compare each other. That's the beauty of being in the body of Christ. Every one of us, different members, different experiences, different, but we bring different things to the plate, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like it's a competition. I mean, you look at you mentioned different people are going to do things or experience things differently. Look at the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's a guy who was, made a career out of persecuting the early believers.
Mm-hmm.
Early believers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now we see him as one of the most influential defenders of the faith that there ever was.
Well, he goes from a terrorist, somebody who was the absolute denier of Christ, to someone who's the absolute ambassador of the secret of Christ. That's God. God hands over to Paul the administration of the secret, the evangel. And of all people in the universe, you wouldn't have considered Paul to be the one to be given or granted that grace.
And look at Matthew. I mean, Matthew was a tax collector, for crying out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we all know how the Jews viewed the Roman tax collectors.
You bet. And yet from Matthew writes from that unique life experience and writes about his encounter, his filter, how he saw Jesus. And so lots of people out there who consider themselves publicans, tax collector types, and that's not literally, but you get what I'm meaning, they'll be able to see Jesus through Matthew's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we're talking about. You are seeing Jesus through your eyes, but somebody else may also be close to that or can relate to your filter. And this is what we're just trying to do, to assist others in coming to a better understanding or a beginning of their understanding of who Jesus is, who they are, and his life in them.
Well, in the end, it's going to be the Father's revelation that mm-hmm. that ultimately
is
brings them, right, brings them to that place.
Mm-hmm. It's the work of his Spirit. The Spirit brings revelation. It's God in us working. Keep thinking about this. And if you would like to just jot me a note of certain resources that might come to mind later after we talk today, I'd be happy to receive those. I'd like to collect those sources from your perspective. And we'll post them. I want to post a list soon. I want to throw up a short list on our Facebook page, our group page, because these people are joining in on this great our group page, and they're watching and listening to us as we share. So that's exciting, how God is bringing others, and we're not. Wow, we're just a minuscule example of what he's doing all over the world, all over the continents. What he intends to do. This is the unfolding of his plan.
So, as these new people come in, are you planning on having the same discussions or the same lines of discussions that we've been having?
You know, that's
you might have to drop it down a notch because there's mm-hmm. people who might not mm-hmm. understand what we're mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, usually it's my years of experience in directing and supervising groups. I learned over those years that when a group has any type of life or longevity, it's very hard for any new people to assimilate into those groups if the original mm-hmm. group has gone down the trail, as it were, far enough. It's almost better to start a group around the new person. And so this is the challenge that may come to you. And this is what's happening with David Fulton, our brother in Spokane. This is, in fact, what he's looking at, is the challenge of doing exactly this format or something similar. And he leading these people in this conversation. He knows where they're at. He can relate to them. But for them to assimilate into this context, it would be, you're right, Scott, it's a little difficult.
I mean, yeah, if I was just an ordinary believer coming out of a Sunday morning church service and then coming home and joining this conversation, mm-hmm. I'd be lost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because number one, like you and I have talked about before, you don't hear about this kind of conversation in the church atmosphere.
Well, let me speak to that, and this might be helpful for the rest of you. This is one of the pitfalls. One of the obstacles of the Sunday morning church environment.
Mm-hmm.
I've said to some of you, I think you, Scott, Billy Graham used to teach in his evangelism courses for pastors. He said, if you notice, when I preach at Crusades, I preach to about a sixth grade educational level.
Yeah.
And what you find is that same dynamic is true in any Sunday morning context, because you've got an influx, you've got a great melting of older, if you say older in the spirit, of people who have been down the journey and have heard the message numerous times, but then you have a new person walking in
mm-hmm.
who's never heard it at all. So how do you relate to that congregation or that assembly? Where's the medium point? Where can you help the new person and the older person still being satisfied, or that is encouraged in their growth? So it's a challenge that the Sunday morning context has. That's why
you can't assume that everybody is on the same.
Nope.
On the same level.
Not at all. And that's why this environment has been so much more effective in communicating and helping each other grow than the Sunday morning environment. The Sunday morning environment is so limited, is so hindered by so many factors.
Well, Dennis, the first thing you hear about people going to a new church or something, so they walk in the door and they feel welcome. If they mm-hmm. don't welcome, they don't come back, you know. So it's, that's even less than a sixth grade level, you know, you're getting down about right. third grade level. Just yes. to feel welcome.
You yeah, know? Exactly, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is the environment welcoming? Do I feel that I can belong here?
Mm-hmm. One yeah. thing that I would, one thing I would mention, and I might have mentioned this to you before, but how is it that we can integrate the knowledge that, that we have, or the knowledge you have of Jesus or Christ in us,
mm-hmm.
and transferring that to the everyday experiences that people, are everyday life experiences that people are going to have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
You know, that's one of the big things that I think that we're missing.
Mm-hmm. Scott, tell me, how do you face this challenge? You have a work environment, people who are on a broad spectrum. Some that you've shared with me are fairly religious and some not at all.
Well, I think that's something that we should do a podcast at some point on. Just to,
what is your answer now?
There's a guy that I work with. Great, just the friendliest guy in the world. He came from Egypt. His name is Magdi. And he and his family immigrated from Egypt and came to live here. His daughters are going to college. He wants to move back to Egypt and return home after his daughters are done with college. But he's an Egyptian Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just the friendliest guy you'd ever want to meet.
All right.
And then you contrast that with another couple of people that I work with who claim to be Christians, but, you know, their behavior is kind of, you question it. But then I kind of try to balance that with the writing that I did the other day on the code of conduct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does our conduct denote the kind of person that we are? I mean, look at Drifter. Look at the salty language that Drifter has, you know, and it's,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love him. The guy is, yeah. Drifter's so, got one of the best stories we've ever had.
So what are you communicating through your life and behavior and code of conduct?
As far as at work, you mean?
Anywhere.
Oh, I don't get involved. I try, you know, my mindset is I try and be the best person that I can be. When I'm at the gym, that's a different mindset, because I'm just there to do what I'm going to do and then get out of there. But, and then when I'm at work, it's just, I try to, you know, just be a regular person.
All right.
I'm not out there trying to advertise myself or be better than the next guy.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel, Scott, that your conduct speaks more highly than anything that you're saying verbally?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, if people see that something is working for you, they're going to want to know what it is that you're doing. That's
okay.
that's making the change.
So would you say behavior follows belief?
No, I would say, well, it's the other way around.
Okay.
Because if we believe in something, whether it be belief in Christ or whether it be belief in a certain kind of, a certain lifestyle that we lead, that's going to come first before then the behavior shows that.
Okay, so you just agreed with me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's what I was leading towards, yeah.
Okay, so you had to say it your own way, but it's fine.
I'm getting confused here, Dennis.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I hate to turn it into a long oratory, but I guess,
yeah.
I had to find the path you were on before.
So in thinking about how we best communicate or transfer this revelation to anyone else. It really begins with what people are seeing in each other. Would each of you agree there?
What about the people who are having trouble with like having marital trouble, mm-hmm. having trouble with like I have in the past, the pornography, and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. having trouble with issues with just common everyday things that, mm-hmm. that people come across.
Okay.
What is the best way for us to integrate what we know way they can understand it?
Mm-hmm. But is it the words or is it something they see in us, Scott?
You're getting off track.
Well, you
I don't like it when you get off track.
You just said this to yourself a moment ago.
Well, I wasn't talking about something that they can see in us. What I'm talking about is what can we verbalize or say to them, mm-hmm. that would best, mm-hmm. get across to them what we're trying to.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it, you wrote yourself a few weeks, Sundays ago or weekends ago.
Here he goes.
About how to see God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in that, you talked about people seeing God in creation, and then you transferred or made the transition to God being seen in us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, is it they see us from what we say, or is it our life? Is it our lifestyle? Is it our behavior? Is it our conduct?
You're talking about people who have been coming from the church environment?
No, I'm just talking about anybody.
Well, no, but these are the people that we're trying to bring into the conversation.
It doesn't matter if they've had church environment or not.
It depends on the person for me.
Yeah.
Oops. Some people you may not even ever hear them speak, but just their countenance, you just, mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. that you know. And then some people, it's their actions because of their particular circumstances, and you're amazed, yeah. at, mm-hmm. how they handle something. Or and then other people, it's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try something here. Hey, Arnold.
Yeah.
Is Arnold still there?
Mm-hmm.
Hi. Yes. If we say we got a new person in here into our discussion, and this person is having a little bit of trouble with his marriage, and he's really questioning it. How would you verbalize or put into context that concept that we're trying to do, that Jesus lives through us when this person is going through?
Hey guys, let me chime in here because a lot of I'm 72.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a church. Church was everything. And it was always, I never was quite sure if I was doing enough to say the right words or evangelize or speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As of this last couple years, let's say, I've mellowed out on that, where I'm not trying to behave in a certain way, because I know that Christ is actually my behavior. It's hard to say that in words, but mm-hmm. I'll give an example. We were doing some furniture, looking at we're searching for furniture for a new place, and went into this one kind of upscale place, and this interior decorator was just all over us. I mean, just put, you know, talking over the top and pushing, and frankly, I lost my temper a couple times. but the upshot of it is, just naturally, there was emails going back and forth and drawings and diagrams and whatever. when it was all over, she asked, is there a next step? And I said, oh, Karen, you know, yes, there is. And we will, what you're offering isn't exactly the right fit, but we'll buy selected piece of art from you. And I just said in the emails, you know, thank you for all the work you've done with us. And with an explanation point. Well, that just came out naturally. I wasn't going to leave her hurt and hanging. She was doing her job to try to help people that had a lot of money in their pocket to spend on furniture. You know, it's, I don't know if that example helps, but it sure is different for me days than it was growing up in church and always that I wasn't behaving right.
Right. Now, to try to speak to where Scott's coming from, he's got a particular problem that he's trying to address with people. And he's asking you how those people could see maybe an answer to their problem in you and Julie's lives.
Yeah.
And isn't it true as you are seen interacting not only with other people, but with Julie, you're together? Mm-hmm. They're going to see something in that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to address Julie just as the same way you addressed that little sales guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, at the time I lost my temper. It was all about like Jesus turning over the tables in the temple. I mean, I just,
No, Dennis, you told me something some time ago, and this was back in that time where I was looking, I was asking you, I was asking Goldberg, I was asking David Fulton, because you guys have been married for, you know, 40, 50 some years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but Dennis is about 100 years, but.
yeah.
No, and I asked you, I said, you know, what was it that kept you going, you know, kept you and Shirley going when those, mm-hmm. you know, when those times came. Mm-hmm. And the response you gave to me was simple. It just said, well, back then, divorce wasn't an option.
Right. Great, Scott. And if I could elucidate more, if you asked that same question to me today, I would say to you, knowing or unknowingly, my ability to see Jesus in my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, yep.
Now, would you, the Bettendorfs, Boondock, would that?
I just looked at my wife and say, I better take another look at you.
Yeah.
She doesn't look the same, eh, Jerry?
We've only been married 62 years.
62 years.
62 wow. years. That's a
way to go. Wow.
We don't see that too often in this.
So what we're saying in that illustration, Scott, the answer to any of the issues that we face or come to us from various people or whatever, I think can be narrowed down in this basic perspective. How do we see through that circumstance? Who do we see in that circumstance or that person? It amounts to that issue. How do we see and who are we seeing? And if we're going to communicate the life of living as Christ to others, we have to first begin with that ability to see Jesus in others. We're not working on so much as, okay, I want to show Jesus through me. We need those eyes that are Christ himself in seeing him in others.
Well, don't you think the people that we speak to, the people that we're speaking to need to have that perspective as well?
Yeah. And what's the best way to encourage them? So
letting them Christ in me, you know, mm-hmm. Because when I was dealing with a woman, it kept flashing in my mind, she's got Jesus too.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is.
So, Arnold, you could have, as you said, walked away and left her hanging.
Oh, yeah.
Said, and just closed the deal, argument, not, and done, gone, never want to see you again. But you saw something in her to cause you enough to say, hey, thank you. You're doing a great job. You were communicating something to her.
Mm-hmm. In her final email back to me, she says, oh, you guys just, you're wonderful, and God bless you, and, you know, thank you. And none of that had worked out, but I scared my son. He said, Dad, this isn't like you, you know. Jesus is taking care of everything that I can see in my life, you know.
Yeah.
Is me. Yeah.
It kind of sounds like you were dabbling with the dark side there, Arnold.
No, I wasn't.
Arnold, you admitted you were probably demonstrating some anger and
Jesus did too.
And frustration, all right?
Yep.
But it went, so you did. But what came of it? Did the conversation end? Were you parted on bad feeling?
Yeah.
No, you brought her to realize something in you. That's not who you really are.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Is everyone maybe not seeing this quite like I am, but in the fact that Arnold was able to go back to her and say, you know what, thank you, da da da, we may not buy everything, but we appreciate your help, whatever, rather than closing off and saying, and we're done with you, and walk away. What does that allow that person, that little sales gal, to see in you? Oh, he's not this belligerent, arrogant, da da da. He's real. He's going to be angry, but there's something deeper in him that tells me something deeper, something real about him.
There's another perspective about this. And I'm surprised that it was in Hebrews. Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels.
Mm-hmm. You just never know.
Yeah.
Never know. I've had a few angels in my life. Thank God. Yeah, but, and we treat them no differently at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Angels are to show us Jesus. Just as other people around us have the potential of showing us Jesus, mm-hmm. as we are to them.
Yep.
See, here's the bottom line that I want us to see, and we're no way going to be able to justify or come to a resolution in this conversation this morning. This is so profound, guys. How do we show creation who God is? That's the point. Romans 8:18 says, actually 19, for the premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. Why? What is the rest of the world, humanity included, waiting for something to happen in the sons of God? And who are these sons of God? What is it the world is waiting to see
through them? I thought we were the sons of God.
Okay, you are. But is there more to unveil in you, Scott?
Mm-hmm.
And that unveiling, how would you describe that unveiling? What really is happening or going to happen in your life and mine as a son of God?
Well, we're going to be shown for who we really are.
Okay. And why is that important?
Because all things, or eventually all things, are brought unto him.
They will be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how God will be seen as all in all. But to get there, God has designed this process. He, if you're God, one of the greatest, I'll say problems, I'll say it carefully. God doesn't have a problem, but in our minds, yeah, his greatest problem, if no one can see you and no one can know you and no one knows you exist, how in the world are people going to know him? You see that? No one has seen God. And yet he is all in all. But how do you know that? How do we convince not only ourselves, but all the rest of creation? Yes, God lives in me. I live and move in him. He is my being. I am all in, he's all in all.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the rest of the world doesn't know that.
Well, a lot of people in the world don't realize that Jesus lives through them either.
Arnold said it earlier. This little sales gal has Jesus living in her as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the end, Karen, the sales girl, saw God. She had God. She was blessed. Karen. So Jesus has got to show it through if he is me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't have to work because he'll take care.
And even... Yeah. And what I'm trying to say here, Arnold, even in what you thought was not typical behavior of Jesus, you might have questioned that yourself.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. God is seen through that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't go into the prayer mode I used to. But Jesus, help me hear the right words to say, whatever.
Uh-huh.
No, he is my words.
Exactly. Yes. One of the things that that we as sons of God have begun to realize is that we live as Jesus. We've said it often and we'll say it again. This is what we realize. We have come to the realization of him. Of him living our lives. Now, if, as we said before, if this belief really takes hold, then it will show in our life, in our behavior. And so no matter what is said or how we act, the confidence is that Jesus is going to be seen through that.
Mm-hmm.
And if people can see Jesus, then they can see God. Because the only way anyone has any possibility of seeing God, who is unknowable, unseeable, is through Jesus.
First, you have to break through that perception, though.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's so many ways, not only in our lifestyle, but the words we say. What we're coming against, everyone, is there's one thing that we are in our, if you read Romans 8, Paul is describing this, the greatest enemy we have, the greatest opposition we have in this whole process is death.
What?
All right.
I thought it was sin.
And what is death? death in its basic, most root level is the absence of the knowledge of God. That's what death is.
I thought our biggest obstacle was our minds, you had said.
The obstacle, yeah, the gate of our minds, yes, is one of the things that has to be renewed. And in order to see this, and how we renew our minds is that we speak this faith. That what is this faith? That Christ is my life. Bible tells us, Paul tells us, faith originates in our mouth. Romans 10, 8, and 9.
I thought sin was the obstacle.
Faith is near you. It's in your mouth, is what Paul says. And so when we speak faith, it releases something. It releases the power of God to change the world around us. Now, here we are, sons of God, who are learning to understand who we are as expressions of Him. The rest of the world is being held in this bondage of death, meaning they don't know God. When we speak Christ, we speak life. We speak a connection. We speak an expectancy. Let me try to make it more practical here. When you spoke to that sales gal, Arnold, and assured her of her worth and her value, you were speaking life into her.
Now, you try and explain that to somebody who's just new coming into the conversation.
No, they're not going to understand this. But basically, her name was Karen, you said?
Karen, yeah.
Yeah. Karen caught something. She caught, he may be an angry man, but he still thinks and says, I have worth.
He's not an angry man.
No, he's not. Arnold, he's not an angry man.
An angry elf.
He may have been at the moment, but
one of the ways that we as sons of God are going to help creation, those around us, is by speaking words of life. And what is life? Life is knowing the Father and Jesus sent. John 17, 3. It's knowing. Life is knowing. I have knowing. I know who I am. I know God. I know Jesus. It's all in, and this brings back to your mind, Beth, when you're talking about the brain. The mind understanding and the mind or eyes of our heart getting this revelation. And so when we can, don't worry about how we come across to people, as long as we continue to understand we have life in us and we convey that life, we speak that life into others. That's how they will know God. That's how we know God. Remember when Jesus said, okay, you guys ready to leave me too? You know, they were really having problems with some of the things Jesus was saying. And Peter said, no, Jesus, you have the words of life. Peter was catching something in his spirit that Jesus was saying, and his words were life. So we need to, let's continue to ponder this tremendous capability. And one of this is the primary way in which we're going to be able to help others around us catch this revelation or let's say, be opened to this revelation in their own journey is to speak life, to speak Dennis, Christ.
Dennis, you know, Joan had a brother that passed away quite a bit younger than she was, but he said a few years before he passed away, he said, you know, one thing I really appreciate about you and Jerry is that I know how you felt, I know what you believed, but you never tried to push anything on me. So all these years, you know, it might have been 20, 30 years, 40 years that he knew how we felt and how we lived, but we didn't, you know, he was not ready. So that person has to be ready.
That's right.
To let you come in, you know.
But you were leading by example. That's what you were doing.
Leading by example. You were saying something, not only your words, Jerry, but he was seeing in you guys something. He was seeing life in you.
Yeah.
And yes, he has to be ready to receive that.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be touched by God with the thirst and the hunger.
And, you know, just before he passed away, he was with a pastor, and he said, you know, teach me how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I want to know how to pray. So he was ready at that time, but, you know, and 10 minutes later he passed away. So that's sometimes that's when it happens, you know, just
before. But God, he ignited something in him, a desire for the, maybe for the first time he would ever admit.
Yeah.
Teach me, show me.
Guys, today we have the confidence that Jesus will take care of him. He won't ever let him go. No. He is Jesus.
Yeah.
In a different place than you and I are at, or Joni. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He too will recognize in some age, and that's what the Bible says.
There are ages,
there are eons. In some eon, he's going to be overwhelmed with the love of God. And he too will confess, Jesus is my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Creation, I mean, the world, we'll put it in that term. The world is waiting, anxious to hear and to see who God is. Because as if you read in the scriptures, the instant that Adam made the choice, something was introduced into the existence of our realm as we know it. And that was death. Up to that point, and Scott wrote about this morning in his blog. Good job describing what you think what life was like before, Scott, before the fall. If you study that, there was no mistake where God was. There was no misunderstanding of God's presence. Adam was the expression and the partner with God in supervising all of creation. At the moment he chose to see God in another way, it introduced a darkness. It introduced a void into creation. Suddenly, God is unknown again. Suddenly, no one has a concept of where God is, let alone being all in all.
Well, like I said, you know, going through, you know, all the church years that I went through, I saw the story of Adam and Eve in the garden as Adam being a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
And God being 100, 200 feet tall, being this,
right?
And he was that's how I looked at it.
Yeah, the only thing I would say to your post this morning, Scott, is that yes, that's the way God has been conveyed.
Yeah,
but let me suggest that in Adam, all the animals, all the creation was seeing God.
Mm-hmm.
He appeared as Adam.
Yeah. And Adam and Eve weren't relating to some to some gargantuan being. They were relating to somebody who was who they saw was like them.
So how do we say, how do we reconnect? And this is the 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talks about this ministry of conciliation. And what is God was in Christ conciliating. We use the word reconciling. The correct Greek is conciliating. That is bringing back people to their understanding of God in them as expressions of God, as all in all. That's our ministry. That's with Paul's ministry. That's God's heart, bringing us back to understanding who we are and who God is as all in all. That's eternal life. And this is aeonian life, Jesus says, to know the Father and Jesus sent. See, we got it all mixed up. We think eternal life is living in bliss, playing a harp forever, thousands and billions of years. Eternal life is knowing. Is knowing something. Is knowing God. Is knowing who we are. Is knowing our place in the universe.
Well, for starters, we need to start beating some sense into some people.
It begins with us as we convey this heart of ours, which is the Father's heart, into the hearts of others, helping them see who they are, speaking life to them, speaking to the Karens who need to see Jesus as, yes, thoroughly human, but thoroughly God. What a challenge. Yeah. But God's doing this through us. He's doing it.
What an opportunity.
And Dennis, keep touching on that every Sunday a little bit, will you?
Okay. Well, this is the nuts and bolts, Jerry. It's the practical side of our conversation. And Scott's trying to ask this, how do we convey this? How do we speak to it? And there are all kinds of situations that will come at us or that we're brought, you know, these opportunities are put in our place. The people with broken marriages, the people with addictions, in our own life, you know, things that we're frustrated with. All of these are opportunities to speak life, to speak aeonian life, the knowledge of God into that situation, that people can see who they are and see God in that situation. Yeah, that's how creation will see God. So I might leave you with this. What is the difference in these two statements? And here they are. One, all that God says, I will do. And the second statement is, Christ is all that I am. All that God says, I will do. Or Christ is all that I am. What's the difference between those two? Let's maybe make that a pondering.
It's a trick question.
Trick question. All right, everybody.
Okay, thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Dennis.
Always fun for me. I trust you're enjoying our conversation as well.
Thanks. Yeah. Are you headed to Mukilteo this week?
Week from today, but we'll leave after our meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, every one of you enjoy.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
I know.